Transitions are hard, you know? Going from one thing to another, moving, say, from, New York to, just out of the blue, Connecticut. It's change. It's hard. How much better wouldn't it be if we just kept things the same? Do we move because things aren't good here? Because change brings the promise of something better? Because we can improve life? But still, change. But think of the hope. Think about the expectations. Think about the possibilities. Yes, maybe transitions are hard, but if you think about it, they are also incredibly uplifting. Aren't they? Shouldn't they be? I mean, there's always going to be some obstacles. There's always going to be movement, too. I mean, it's expected, isn't it? Part of transition implies movement from one place to another, but from where to where, through where. It's easy for me to say that I'm in transition from New York State to Central Connecticut because there is a proverbial point A and a proverbial point B. All I have to do is move from A to B. It's easy. Except that there's so much more in that transition than just motion, than just A to B, than just moving. And there is a point between A and B that gets moved through. What's that point called? Do we even notice we're going through it as we go? How about taking it like this? Point A is Egypt. Point B is the promised land. So the folks that are in transition are the Israelites, which means that the place they're moving through is called the wilderness. The wilderness. That's a powerful word, isn't it? I mean, for me at least, it implies that there's something wild in that space, however big it may be. Something wild and maybe something that will change me, or them, or both, permanently. I mean, they will be changed. They aren't slaves anymore as they were in Egypt, but out here, can we say that they're free? The wilderness is that place that we have to go through in order to become completely free. And within it, there are so many obstacles. Or how about taking it like this, for all of you who are movie musical buffs or musical theater buffs. In Stephen Sondheim's musical, Into the Woods, fairy tale characters launch from point A to point B, and in the meantime, they go through a place that's called the woods. It's in the woods that everything changes. He explains this through the lyrics in the Act One finale. You go into the woods where nothing's clear, where witches, ghosts, and wolves appear. Into the woods and through the fear, you have to take that journey. Into the woods and down the dell, in vain perhaps, but who can tell? Into the woods to lift the spell. To wed the prince, to free Granny. To get the money, to get your wish, to have a child. The woods changes them. Cinderella gets her prince, but she also gets a little bit more than she bargained for. Little Red gets her sweets, but then she gets eaten. And rescued. Spoiler alert. Jack gets the money for his cow, and he gets magic beans, but then he gets into an adventure that gets him into trouble. The witch, who is orchestrating it all, wishes only to have her beauty restored to her. And when the spell is lifted, she gets her beauty and she loses her powers. And when the baker and his wife lift the spell upon them, which allowed them no longer to have children, they get a child, but they get a child. The woods is their wilderness. Inside the woods, each character learns something about themselves, who they are in truth, what they're capable of. And lucky us, as the audience, we get to go through the woods with them. We get to change simultaneously, but we're just watching them, right? As we read and listen to scripture, we journey with the biblical characters, but we're just studying them, right? As we hear the news and we see the migrants, modern-day Israelites, if I may, we change with them, but we're just observing them, right? See, Moses asks the Israelites, what are we? Who are we in all this? He became capable of leading the Israelites through the wilderness, and we are capable of changing through transition. And sometimes characters are capable of many things: love, honor, parenthood, common sense, care. The woods, the wilderness, they never go away. Between A and B, there will always be a space for us to pass through, and we will continue to pass through it again and again as we migrate from place to place, hoping and praying for the promised land. Sondheim also writes, "Into the woods, it's always when you think you're through at last, and then, into the woods you go again. It's just another journey." How apt. Into the woods, we go again. It's just another journey. As we grasp the changes that are experienced by Sondheim's characters, we have a chance to reflect on the changes we also undertake as we go into the woods or through the wilderness. So that brings up the question Moses asks once again: who are we in all this? Let's say point A is Syria and point B is Germany. As migrants, they're absolutely certain that the land they're going to is better than the one they started from, because anywhere in the world is better than the place that they've begun. And in that belief, they're fueled by a sense of hope, a sense of promise, a sense of urgency. In the wilderness between Syria and Germany, their hopes will be tested, their determination will be tested, their resolve will be tested, and their urgent drive toward freedom will be tested. Because the wilderness is full of obstacles, because the wilderness is littered with walls, with armed border guards, with caring citizens, with buses, trains, and trucks, with spur-of-the-moment journalists, with inflatable boats, with troubled waters. Because the wilderness is where the transition truly happens. So who are we in the wilderness? Well, they are still believers. Even though their beliefs are challenged and tested, they are still hopeful of freedom in the promised land, even if it feels like that freedom and that land will never be reached. They're still determined to reach their goals, to cross the proverbial finish line, and at the end, to start a new and better foot race. Who are we in all of this? Let's say point A is Central America and point B is North America. As migrants, they're traveling through a physically daunting wilderness, the desert. And along the way, they face political challenges, health risks, deceit, separation, despair, and at the end of it, the wall. The shadow of death seems to hover over them, if not the death of their bodies, then the death of their dreams. And yet, they push on because point B is on the horizon, wherever point B may be. And they can't go back to point A. Like the Israelites, they cannot go back to Egyptian enslavement. So who are we in all of this? Let's say point A is religious foundation, and point B is the action of faith. On this journey, we are spiritual sojourners. We are like Sondheim's characters going through the woods. We're journeying through a wilderness that presents an obstacles of a different nature, a personal nature. Media portraiture, social movements, political agendas, negativity and social backlash, fundamentalism, traditionalism, nativism, extremism. Every day in the wilderness, these things weigh on our shoulders. And yet we journey on. Who are we in all of this? Well, we're changing and evolving. We are learning and creating. We are hoping and believing. And we're not alone. We are not alone. We have each other. We have this church. We have a loving and caring God who never leaves us, especially in the woods. Sondheim reminds us, someone is on your side, someone else is not. While we're seeing our side, maybe we forgot they're not alone. No one is alone. And Pope Francis says, we must rather view them as persons, seeing their faces and listening to their stories, trying to respond as best we can to their situation. Is he not also saying we must journey with them, whoever the characters may be, and whatever, wherever the stage may be? Is he not saying, in essence, someone is on your side, no one is alone? Moses asks the Israelites, but also asks us, who are we in all of this? Aren't we also migrants?